Welcome to Kuvera's weekly digest on the most critical developments related to business, finance, and the markets. Gold in the groceries. 150 years ago, in 1884 to be precise, a family grocery store in northern England began selling packaged and branded soap bars. 4 years later, the Sunlight soap bars were imported into India. Over the next years and decades, the company behind Sunlight introduced more brands: Lifebuoy, Pears, Lux, Vim, Bonaspati, and the famous Dalba. No points for guessing that company's name. Yes, it was Unilever. The British fast-moving consumer goods giant set up its first Indian subsidiary in 1931 and it hasn't looked back ever since. While Unilever was expanding into India, another multinational FMCG giant was also establishing a foothold. That giant was the Swiss firm Nestlé, which entered India in 1912. Why are we talking about Unilever and Nestlé? Well, because more than a century after they started doing business in India, they are about to face perhaps their toughest fights yet from a bunch of Indian companies. Billionaire Mukesh Ambani's Reliance Consumer Products Limited, billionaire Gautam Adani-led Adani Wilmar Limited, and the Tata Group's Tata Consumer Products Limited are looking to quickly ramp up their FMCG businesses. Reliance plans to inject 3,900 crore into its FMCG arm. Tata Consumer has planned a capex of 785 crore for this year alone, while Adani Wilmar is building a war chest of more than 8,000 crore to acquire brands in the spices, packaged edibles and ready-to-cook segments, according to separate media reports this week. Clearly, India's three biggest conglomerates are preparing to establish their dominance over the FMCG market and dethrone not just Hindustan Unilever and Nestlé but also a bunch of other established companies such as Britannia, Godre, Marico and Colgate-Palmolive. Why are they doing so? Frankly, it's not rocket science. India has one of the fastest-growing major economies in the world. As the overall GDP grows and people's incomes rise, the FMCG sector will be a major beneficiary. After all, everyone needs food to cook and eat, soaps and shampoos to bathe, and pens and pencils to write. Reliance, already India's biggest retailer, expects the size of the country's retail market to cross $1.4 trillion by 2027. Growing urbanization, increasing incomes and rising aspirations will propel the sector's growth. And that's what Tata, Adani, Reliance and a host of other companies are betting on. That's also why Zomato's Blinkit, Swiggy's Instamart and Tata's Big Basket, apart from Amazon and Flipkart, are ramping up their grocery delivery services. So, sit back, sip your favorite beverage, and watch the battles play out. Slow yet steady. Talking about economic expansion, the fiscal year 2024-25 began on a somber note, with GDP growth hitting a five-quarter low of 6.7% in April to June. However, not many are perturbed, including Reserve Bank of India Governor Shaktikant Das, dubbing the first quarter figure as a temporary blip, possibly due to a slowdown in government spending in the run-up to the general elections. Das noted that consumption and investment demand are growing in tandem. This gives us confidence to say that the Indian growth story remains intact. The RBI's projection of GDP growth at 7.2% for 2024-25 does not appear out of place, he said. To be clear, the slowdown in India's growth in the first quarter was not entirely unexpected, with most polls predicting a figure of 6.9%. Industry was the bright spot, growing at 8.3%, followed by services at 7.2%, while agriculture lagged, posting growth of just 2.0%. Das also expressed optimism about good monsoon rains and favorable sowing data, reinforcing the forecast for robust full-year fiscal growth. He was not alone in expressing confidence about the country's economy. This week, the World Bank raised its India GDP growth forecast for 2024-25 to 7%, from 6.6%. It cited the potential for strong rural consumption, driven by good monsoon rains, as a key factor behind this upward revision. The World Bank's revision followed the International Monetary Fund, which had increased its growth estimate even before the release of the first quarter figure. The IMF's updated forecast for 2024-25 growth stands at 7%, up from the 6.8% the agency had projected in April. It's getting cloudy. In early August, the U.S. short seller Hindenburg Research leveled some serious allegations of misconduct against Madhavipuri Book, the chairperson of the Securities and Exchange Board of India, SEBI. We won't go into those details, but Book and Sebi denied the allegations at the time. And that was that. Or so we thought. This week, Book found herself embroiled in more controversies. There were allegations that Book continued to earn salary and income from stock options from ICICI Bank and ICICI Prudential long after she quit ICICI Securities and joined SEBI as a member. ICICI denied paying any salary or granting stock options to Book after her resignation but said the payments were part of her retirement benefits. Meanwhile, Zee Entertainment founder Subhash Chandra called Book corrupt and accused SEBI of derailing the $10 billion merger of media company with Japanese conglomerate Sony. To be sure, SEBI has been investing Zee for alleged fund diversion and had banned Chandra and his son from holding any positions in the company last year. The latest attack against Book has come from within SEBI. Dozens of SEBI officials have written a letter to the finance ministry complaining against a toxic work culture, harassment and setting unrealistic targets. After the media this week reported the letter, written about a month ago, SEBI issued a press release dismissing the allegations and blaming external elements for instigating the employees. After the press release, hundreds of SEBI officials protested in front of the SEBI building in Mumbai. And now, a parliamentary committee has decided to look into SEBI's affairs. Clearly, all is not well with SEBI, the body responsible for regulating India's capital and commodity markets. The earlier the situation improves, the better it would be for every stakeholder. Market wrap. Indian stock markets snapped a three-week gaining streak, mainly due to overseas cues such as U.S. jobs data. Of the Nifty 50 stocks, 33 ended the week in the red and another 8 with a gain of less than 0.5%. The biggest row came on Friday, when the benchmark index fell over 1% to slip below 24,900. The 30-stock Sensex fell 1.3% during the week, while Nifty lost 1.5%. Nifty stocks that lost the most during the week included most IT companies Infosys, TCS and Tech Mahindra, and most banks, metals, mining, energy and auto counters such as Coal India, ONGC, Hindalco, BPCL, Maruti Suzuki, M&M and Tata Motors. Hero Moto Corp, among the autos and HDFC Bank among lenders bucked the trend. Other stocks that managed to close the week in the green included Asian Paints, Bajaj Finserv, Titan Company, SBI Life, Pool, Bajaj Finance, Ultratech, Shriram Finance, Divi's Lab, HCL Technologies, Sun Pharma, Tamindtree, and Nestle India. That's all for this week. Until next week, happy investing.